Mo, come here, buddy. You're going to be in the movies.
And the person interviewing me wrote those words down, looked up from his piece of paper and said to me, "So do you think we're going to like that?"
Yeah, I do what I do today, Kathy, because of a fourth grade field trip.
No credit to me, just me fumbling along with what I knew at the time and the dog being very forgiving of my mistakes.
So for most people who know me, it's not too much of a secret. I kind of have the humor occasionally, okay, maybe more than occasionally, of a 10-year-old boy. I love Minions. As a matter of fact, as I am recording this, I am wearing flannel pants with Minions on them. Also occasionally think a fart joke is hilarious. So as I made my way across this fine nation of ours on the way to my final destination and saw billboards that said, Beaver, not only did I find it hilarious, I got curious. And so in this week's episode, I talk about Beaver, Buc-ee's, to be specific. I talk about my journey across the country. I talk about rest stops, truck stops, clean bathrooms. And I also talk about compassion. So, buck up, little beavers. I'm Kathy Brooks, and this is Talk Unleashed.
Well, I did it. A week, actually 2 weeks and some change, and I have navigated across this fine land of the United States of America and made it to my final destination in Virginia. The crossing from Las Vegas to the East Coast took about a week. I detoured to go south to visit my mom for her birthday, her 90th birthday, no less. That was pretty amazing. And a couple of days ago, I hopped in the car, drove up through South Carolina, Charleston, staying overnight there, and then headed into Virginia. Apparently, there was a Chinese spy balloon above my head. I had no idea that it was there, that it had been shot down. This is what happens when you drive in your car listening, really, to audiobooks and talking on the phone. You don't know that you're being spied on. Kind of makes me wonder whether the Chinese are judging me, you know, for my choices of where I stopped along the way. Truck stops, road stops. Fascinating experience coming across the country. And I got one word for you. Beaver. I'm not referring to Beaver, Utah, entirely different place. I am referring instead to Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's is a chain of gas station road stops. Travel stops. It's not a truck stop. As a matter of fact, as you're driving around the location, there are big signs with a picture of a big rig with a circle and a line through it. No big rigs allowed. It is purely for passenger vehicles, passenger RVs, and I guess civilian drivers. I was wondering what the big deal was. I'd been seeing them along the road. Their billboards were hilarious. Things like Beaver, open all night, and other such funny statements. And so I pull into this massive gas station. And by massive, I mean massive. It could have certainly fit big rigs, but it was very much almost like a tourist stop. And this place is the size almost of a Walmart, huge. And you come through this door, you walk under, it says Buc-ee's, and there's this enormous picture of a grinning beaver. Looks a little like Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks, if you're asking me, without the hat and the sweater. And of course, he's a chipmunk, not a beaver, so he has different teeth, but they look like they could be related. And you walk through the door, and voices ring out from every corner, "Welcome to Buc-ee's! Welcome in!" And it's, I can't lie, it's a little overstimulating, a little overwhelming. They have a wall of beef jerky, like a whole wall of it. And then in the back, there's a butcher counter where they've got fresh jerky of pretty much every kind you can imagine. Now, if you don't like jerky, no problem. They've got a taco and burrito stand, and they also have really good barbecue. They also have a station where they make fudge. They're packing some fudge. Yes, I'm throwing all sorts of entendres in here since we're talking about beavers. They also have a real Buc-ee walking around. Of course, I got my picture taken with him. Because who doesn't want to have their picture taken with an oversized beaver? How did Buc-ee's come to be? So I got curious and I asked one of the Buc-ee's shirt-wearing folks some background. And apparently it began as a gas station in Texas. And this gas station was known for its bathrooms. Its bathrooms, actually known for how clean its bathrooms were. And I got to tell you, the bathrooms in Buc-ee's
are probably among the cleanest bathrooms I have seen anywhere. Literally anywhere, including four-star hotels. These bathrooms were immaculate. They were well-lighted. They had really nice soap, really nice towels. The stalls were clean. There was plenty of toilet paper. And people were actually cheerful, like talking to each other in the bathroom, which is, even in a ladies' room, a public ladies' room on a rest stop, not exactly normal. Now, granted, you're listening here to somebody who talks to pretty much anyone, pretty much anywhere under any circumstances. But everybody was chatting. There were conversations happening in the bathroom. Conversations about the brisket. Conversations about the snacks. They also have a snack called beaver nuggets. Gotta tell you, bought some dark chocolate covered beaver nuggets. They weren't particularly tasty. There are so many different kinds of roadside stops. This was one of them. You have those Others, Loves, and some of the other big chains that run across the country with these enormous gas pump, you know, row after row after row of gas pumps and these enormous stores with strange whatchamacallit things and strange tchotchkes that are somehow locally sourced and relevant for the area where you find them. But along my trip, I stopped in some other places. I stopped on one particular day at an exit called Milagro, Miracle. It was in New Mexico, and Shauna, the woman behind the counter, had enormous knowledge about local jewelry and turquoise, of which they actually had a beautiful selection in a gas station. I ended up parking in one of their spots for a while to do a conference call. They also had Wi-Fi. Didn't look like the kind of place that would have Wi-Fi. And the conversation that I had with her wasn't just about the weather and the traffic, which is the kind of thing you usually find in a roadside stop. We talked about creation of art. And she told me that the artist who created most of their jewelry had been ill. And so we talked about life and what we create in our lives. Milagro. It was an interesting stop. So back to Beaver. So it was at this stop where I decided to look at the map and make some choices about the route I was going to take as I was cutting northward through Virginia. And I had some options. And one of them was going to take me directly through Appomattox. Now, for those of you who may or may not know, maybe Appomattox sounds familiar. For those of you who are history buffs, you probably know. Appomattox was the place, the courthouse at Appomattox was the place where the treaty was signed that ended the Civil War. Appomattox was also the location of one of the bloodiest battles of the war. I'd never seen Appomattox in real life. I'd seen pictures of the fields and pictures of the courthouse, certainly in every history class I had ever taken. But the idea of going through Appomattox was super exciting. So that was the route I took. And so pulling out of this Bucky's roadside stop, I thought I'd be getting back on the interstate. But instead, it turned me right out of the parking lot and down a county road. And the rest of my drive, the next hour and a half, was all through winding county and country roads, up and over hills, through small towns, as the most magnificent moon, almost full, started to rise over the trees. That's when I saw the first one. A Confederate flag. And I can't lie. It made me really nervous. Now, there are a couple of other flags I might see that would make me a heck of a lot more nervous. But seeing a Confederate flag, I got a little scared. And I started thinking, I'm a gay Jewish woman driving alone through the country. What happens if my car breaks down? And I started going really into fear. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? And I looked at my phone and my cell service was super spotty. And then I remembered the reason why I'm on this journey in the first place, the reason why I am embarking on the expansion of Unleashed Leadership, the reason why I have this podcast. It's about conversation. It's about getting curious, especially when I'm afraid. Not just when somebody seems nice or it's easy or it's, you know, something simple to do, but especially in those moments where I feel really uncomfortable. That's the time it's most important to get super curious, super open. And I'm winding my way through these roads, and then something even more interesting happened. And to give you the context for it, I'm going to pop back a bunch of years, decades actually, to the spring of 1990. I was getting ready to graduate Northwestern's
Medill School of Journalism, and I had been hired to work at a newspaper in Palo Alto, the Peninsula Times Tribune. I was hired sight unseen via a phone interview, and so I was flying out to California briefly to find an apartment so that I would have a place, you know, I could go back to Philly, pack up my stuff, and have somewhere to ship it. I was staying with the daughter of one of my father's college friends who lived in Palo Alto at the time. I think her husband worked at Hewlett-Packard. So I got off the plane, and my plane came in a little bit late at night. So the plan was I would stay at a hotel right near the airport and then hop in my rental car and go down to Palo Alto to go apartment hunting the next day. So I get off the plane, and I felt a little strange, but I wasn't sure what that was all about. I thought I was maybe just tired. So I get in the rental car, I go to the hotel, I check in and, you know, go to sleep. And the next morning I got up and I made a little coffee in the coffee maker in the room and I got my bags packed and I stepped outside. And that's when the feeling hit me. I felt like I was home. Super strange feeling. I'd never been west of Chicago. And here I was in a state literally on the opposite end of the country. I had never been there before. I was going to be spending a few days with someone I hadn't seen since I was about 5 years old, so I didn't even know her very well, and a completely strange place, but something resonated and the feeling was home. And this is in the parking lot of what was a travel lodge at the time, you know, 5 minutes from the San Francisco International Airport. It's not like I was in the middle of the trees in Marin or out at the coast or in the city of San Francisco or even in Palo Alto. But there was something about the energy of the place that just landed. And I ended up living in California for 22 years. Much of that in the same neighborhood. And when I go back to San Francisco, there is still a feeling of home that arises in a very different way now. And so as I was driving, I had long crossed the border of Virginia, but I had left Bucky's, the beaver spot, as I like to think of it. And I'm driving along these roads and I'm seeing this moon. And all of a sudden I had that feeling again. That feeling of home, that feeling of resonance, that feeling of, I belong in this place at this time. So does the Confederate flag really matter? Does it really matter whether people believe the same or think the same? No, as a matter of fact, if anything, maybe it's better that they don't. Maybe that's the opportunity. And maybe that's the opportunity that we all get to look at every goddamn day. I'm not interested in a world where everybody agrees and everybody gets along and everybody thinks the same. That's a load of horseshit. No interest at all. I want the world to be diverse. I want the world to be curious. I want there to be passion and difference and argument, but not hatred, not friction. Disagreement doesn't have to turn into a dispute. Friction doesn't have to turn into a fight. I had an incident with my sister last week where we had a bit of a disagreement. The truth is that something came up and I didn't use my voice. I didn't say, hey, you know what? This is happening and I'm not comfortable with this. And I didn't proactively address it. Instead, I just kind of said, oh, it'll be all right. And it wasn't all right. And when I finally, I guess, got the moxie to address it in a way that felt comfortable, the way I did it didn't work for my sister. And a couple of days went by and it just wasn't sitting right with me. And it was clear that it wasn't sitting right with her either because she was being a bit distant and clearly there was something bothering her. So finally, on Wednesday, so it's 2 days later, I brought it up and I said, hey, look, I get to acknowledge that this wasn't okay, that what I did wasn't okay, what I said or didn't say wasn't okay. Let's just say her response was almost like her response had been to the iguana. And what was really fascinating for me in that moment, there would have been a time in the past where I would have met that energy head on. And instead, it was this strange out-of-body experience of just witnessing someone who was in a lot of discomfort and reacting, disproportionately reacting. And it felt neutral to me. I don't know how this whole thing with her will transpire. I will certainly keep you all posted. And I'm hopeful that we'll figure out a way to address it. But what I know is this, it doesn't matter who the person is, it doesn't matter whether I agree with them or disagree with them, that the commitment to engaging in a conversation means being committed to listen to what other people say, even when I disagree with them, especially when I disagree with them.
And it also means being 100% responsible for my own words and deeds and how I present and engage with other people. 100% responsible. And on top of it all, I got a really cool magnet with a beaver on it. I'd say it's a pretty good week.
Here we are, the end of another episode.
So sad.
But it's not really. Because there is an entire library of Talk Unleashed podcast episodes you can enjoy. And a whole bunch more yet to come. Make sure you don't miss any. Subscribe. Follow. Heck, set up a carrier pigeon network if you like. Whatever it takes, just make sure you don't miss any of these conversations. And since conversations do require dialogue, meaning to, meaning back and forth, I want to hear from you. Who would you like to hear from? What topics would you like to hear addressed? Drop a line to talkunleashed@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Catch you next week.